Al Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu was-salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. As-salamu alaykum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series, Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, Rahimahullah. Today we have reached Hadith 39. Allah has pardoned.
الحديث التاسع والثلاثون عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله تجاوز لي عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استكره عليه. حديث حسن رواه ابن ماجه والبيهقي في السنن وغيرهما.
Ibn Abbas radiyallahu an reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Truly Allah has pardoned the mistakes and forgetfulness of my community and for what they have done under force or duress." My dear brothers and sisters, there is a long discussion regarding the grading and wording of this hadith. The wording "Inna Allah tajawaza li an ummati," the word "li" or "for my sake," does not form part of the hadith. Therefore, the correct wording or meaning of this hadith is إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأْ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah has pardoned for my nation what is done by mistake, out of forgetfulness, or under duress. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And Allah knows best. Now, many scholars have approved this hadith, such as Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim, Al-Dhahabi, Ibn Kathir, Al-Sakhawi, Al-Suyuti, Sheikh al-Albani, and others. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith is extremely important on the topic of personal responsibility. And it may be understood that it has ramifications for virtually every area of fiqh. It demonstrates that Allah does not consider people sinful when their actions are not representative of their intentions. And in general, my dear brothers and sisters, a sin is something done against the Sharia knowingly and willingly. This is why some of the ulama said that this hadith spans the entire area or the entire field of human action. By its stated meaning, it shows that man is not responsible for what he does out of forgetfulness, mistake, or under duress or force. By implication, then it means that man is responsible for everything else that he does, hence it covers all the acts of the Sharia. Wallahu a'lam. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith is also one of the manifestations of the Sharia's removal of hardship from the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 78,
وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ.
He has not placed upon you in the religion any hardship. So to hold a person sinful and completely responsible for acts that he did by mistake or out of forgetfulness or while being coerced or forced would entail a great deal of hardship and difficulty. So much so that it could reach the level of burdening a person beyond what he can bear, which is denied by the Sharia. Therefore, the Sharia has lessened the burden and held humans free of sin in those cases. Now we'll move on to the start of the hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي. Allah has pardoned for my nation, or truly Allah has pardoned for my nation. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith demonstrates the great mercy and compassion that Allah has for this ummah, for the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For no one can force Allah to judge in a particular fashion or decree a particular matter, but this hadith points to Allah's wisdom, justice, and mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we shall discuss, has forgiven, has pardoned the mistakes, the forgetfulness, or what was done under duress or force for this nation. My dear brothers and sisters, what has been stated in this hadith has also been stressed and emphasized in the Quran many times. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 286, he says,
لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت
Allah does not charge a soul except with that within its capacity. It will have the consequence of what good it has gained, and it will bear the consequence of what evil it has earned.
رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا.
Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error.
رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا.
Our Lord, and lay not upon us a burden like that which you laid upon those before us.
رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا.
Our Lord, burden us not with that which we have no ability to bear, and pardon us, and forgive us, and have mercy upon us.
أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
You are our protector, so give us victory over the disbelieving people. And Allah also says in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 5,
وليس عليكم جناح فيما أخطأتم به ولكن ما تعمدت قلوبكم وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
And there is no blame upon you for that in which you have erred, but only for what your hearts intended. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Allah also says in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 106,
من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن. وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ.
Whoever disbelieves in Allah after his belief, except for one who is forced to renounce his religion while his heart is secure in faith, but those who willingly open their breasts to disbelief, upon them is anger from Allah, and for them is a great punishment. The next part of the hadith, Al-Khata', what is done mistakenly, or truly Allah has pardoned for my nation what is done mistakenly. So my dear brothers and sisters, khata, or mistake, has been defined in the books of Islamic legal theory with the following definitions. One, mistake or khata is a deed or word which springs forth from a man without his intention as a result of carelessness by his directly pursuing a matter which is other than the one intended by him. Two, mistake or khata is a deed performed by a man without intending it perfectly, or completely intending it would probably be a better translation. And finally, three, mistake or khata means that a man aims by his action an object other than that at which he aims by his negligent conduct. So my dear brothers and sisters, in essence, a person performs a deed which he believes is good and proper, but it turns out that it is not proper and is not the correct act, or not performed in the correct manner. In Allah's sight, under such circumstances, the person is not a sinner and his act is pardoned, as this hadith demonstrates. And we have mentioned the ayat that also illustrate this. The next part of the hadith,
والنسيان.
والنسيان, and what is done out of forgetfulness. And my dear brothers and sisters, an-nisyan or forgetfulness has been defined by the scholars in numerous ways, such as ignorance by necessity and not on account of ailment of what a person used to know despite his having knowledge of other things, or failure to recall a thing at the time of its need, or a circumstance which befalls a man without his choice or desire, causing loss of remembrance of something. My dear brothers and sisters, an aspect that is stressed in the definitions of forgetfulness is that it is a temporary situation not caused by disease or illness. Indeed, the person is fully competent, but some matter has slipped his mind at that particular time, while perhaps, even in just a few moments, the person will be fully aware of the matter that he had temporarily forgotten. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, being excused or pardoned for what is done mistakenly or out of forgetfulness does not mean that there will be no consequent rulings. This means that a person might be forgiven, but he still has to take responsibility for his actions. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he states that a person who acts out of forgetfulness or by mistake is excused, and that the sinfulness will be removed because sinfulness is related to those who do it deliberately. But the ruling, meaning whatever the responsibility is not meant by this hadith. The hadith does not mean that they are going to be excused from everything, including any kind of responsibility or rulings. This is something very important to know, because some Muslims have the misconception that they are totally excused and they do not have to bear any consequence. Now, the consequent rulings for doing something mistakenly or out of forgetfulness can be classified in the following three categories. Number one, there are mistakes where there is no consequent ruling, such as a person or a Muslim who eats during the day in the month of Ramadan out of forgetfulness. The person's fast is still valid and he does not have to repeat that day. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found in Bukhari and Muslim, which states that any Muslim who eats during Ramadan out of forgetfulness will be excused and forgiven. Number two, there are consequent rulings to actions that are done out of mistakes or forgetfulness, such as if someone kills a Muslim by mistake, as what happens nowadays, for example, in car accidents or something similar. It is well known that for such a person, there is no consequent ruling, but he still has to pay the fidya, as is mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 92, where Allah says, and never is it for a believer to kill a believer except by mistake. And whoever kills a believer by mistake, then the freeing of a believing slave and a compensation payment presented to his family is required, unless they give up the right as charity. But if he, meaning the deceased, was from a people at war with you, and he was a believer, then only the freeing of a believing slave.
وَإِن فدية مسلمة إلى أهله وتحرير رقبة مؤمنة.
And if he was from a people with whom you have a treaty, then a compensation payment presented to his family and the freeing of a believing slave.
فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ تَوْبَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ.
And whoever does not find, meaning one cannot afford to buy one, then instead a fast for 2 months consecutively seeking acceptance of repentance from Allah.
وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا.
And Allah is ever knowing and wise. Another example that falls under this is if someone caused harm or damage to the property or money of someone else by mistake. In this case, the person is responsible and has to compensate for what he has damaged, even though he is forgiven by Allah and is not regarded as being sinful. Now the third category is there are actions where there are different opinions amongst the ulama, amongst the scholars of Islam, of whether there is a consequent ruling or not. Some of the scholars have said that the person has a consequent ruling, others say that he is fully excused and has nothing to do. For example, if a person talked out of forgetfulness during his prayer, does he have to repeat his prayer or not? Here there are different opinions for the ulama. Some will say he has to repeat his prayer, while others will say he is forgiven and excused, which according to Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah is the correct opinion, and Allah knows best. Moving on to the final part of the hadith.
وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ.
And what is done under duress. Now the definition of being under duress, or ikrah, or being coerced, or being forced, means to urge another person to perform that which he does not consent, and that which he would not choose to perform personally in a direct manner if he were left alone. Also, it means to urge a man by another man to perform an act which he dislikes and which he would not intend to perform personally in a direct manner if he were not urged on it by threat. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, this involves both a dislike for the act by the one being coerced or forced, as well as being forced to perform that act. Hence, it is a case where the person, if left to his own choice or freedom, would not perform that specific act. However, due to being forced or being under duress from others, he performs the act against his will. His intention is not actually to perform the act itself, but to avert and avoid the threatened punishment. If not for the force, the act would not have been carried out. Also, for this to be the case, 4 components must be present. 1, the one doing the forcing. 2, the one being forced. 3, the threat of the one doing the forcing. And finally, 4, the act one is being forced to perform. My dear brothers and sisters, in a situation where a person is forced to do something which is not acceptable in Islam, this force or this ikrah or this duress can be categorized according to Ibn Rajab rahimahullah into 2 categories. 1, the person is powerless and has no choice to refuse doing an evil act or something which is not acceptable by the Sharia. Ibn Rajab says that he is excused. 2, the person is forced to harm someone else. In this situation, we look at the issue from the perspective that he has the power over his actions and can refuse to do the harm, but at the same time, his intention is to remove the harm from himself rather than harm the other person. What is the ruling in this case? The scholars say that there are certain cases where the Muslim should not do it, meaning harm someone else, even if he is harmed himself. Such as if a Muslim is forced to kill someone else, he is not allowed to do so because this is a major harm that Muslims should do their best to avoid. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, the scholars said that when a person is put under force or duress, the duress would be something definite and most likely to happen, and not just something that the person imagines or assumes. He has to be sure. My dear brothers and sisters, to summarize and conclude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His mercy, has decreed that he will overlook for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah, his followers, what they do by mistake or out of forgetfulness or due to being forced or under duress. So this means, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah forgives any sinful aspects of those deeds, but it does not mean, as we discussed, that the worldly rulings concerning those deeds are to be overlooked. As the ulama have discussed, wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.